dbkmediaservices.com.
Listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk Podcast. SBC Sports Talk is brought to you by SBCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. And now, here are your hosts, Shane Combs and Bruce Knox.
Hello, SVC fans. This is show 145 of SVC Sports Talk. Welcome back from our little respite that we had, and we took a week off, and we are back now to bring you show 145. This is brought to you, as always, by Triple Crown Family Fun Center in Chillicothe. I am Bruce Knox of DBK Media Services, and once again, we're talking SVC basketball with SVCSportsZone.com's Shane Combs. Shane, welcome back to the old program.
Good to be back, Bruce. A lot of fun. I hope you had a great holiday. I know we enjoyed our time here at the family. I had the 1 week away from SVC Sports Talk, but we're excited to get back at it.
Well, good. Did you get some basketball watching in over the break?
You know, I really did. I a bunch of it. On the girls' side, I had a chance to see multiple games in person, get out and see some teams. The girls, saw them get another win there in the non-conference, looking a lot better, especially on the defensive end, as I've talked a little bit about. I know on the boys' side, saw 2-3 games in person. Saw a lot of film on the boys' side. Always appreciate the coaches that trust me with that and allow me to do that. It allows me to see so much more and really analyze more. And then probably when you say coverage, Bruce, we've started our Dena Sports Medicine SVC stats, our SVC leaders page. Appreciate their ongoing support, their sponsorship. But that's a lot of fun. You know, you get 16 teams, 8 boys, 8 girls, and they start to come in through the inbox there or the text or however the coaches send them, and you're able to break down a lot of things there. That really educates you and tells you a lot about each team. So, yeah, over the break, a lot of opportunity to analyze a lot of basketball. A lot of fun.
Those statistics never lie, you know. That's what they say.
Only when you want them to.
That's right. I've heard that. Anyway, as usual, fans, this is brought to you by the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, which is located at 1 Nancy Wilson Way in Chillicothe. Just a great place for kids of all ages and all people to go. So for your next party or group event, give them a call, 740-773-PLAY. That's 740-773-7529. They have, among other things, Cardo's Pizza, which right now sounds pretty good to me. They'll supply that for the parties and events that they have there. They've also got the old soccer, hit the ball around, some inflatables. They've got just about everything you and your family needs to have a great time out there at Triple Crown Family Fun Center, located off of Bridge Street, just behind the Hampton Inn. So, Shane, what have you in mind for the show as we come back off this luxurious week break?
Well, I'd love to talk a lot of basketball, take a look at what's happened over the break, maybe see what we hope to learn here in 2016. But as always, I think beyond just the normal basketball talk, the fans always seem to come up with some really interesting, fun things to do. And we had a couple things through the inbox and through discussions and in terms of how they would like us to maybe take a look at some of the key events or the key performances, so forth, throughout 2015. So a combination of all that, I think, is going to make for a great hour here on SVC Sports Talk this week.
You had a few emails, did you?
Yeah, some really, really interesting ones. And also getting out to some of the different games, some of the non-conference, it's interesting to see how many different people you run into. I see 2, 3, 4 coaches maybe scouting there, a chance to really catch up with them, just sit and kind of talk to them off the record about their teams and so forth. Just a lot of fun, something I really enjoy doing.
All right, fans, stay with us. Up first on the show, we force Shane to look back at the top moments of 2015 before looking ahead to the new year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, we would be remiss if we didn't say Happy New Year. And so we hope your 2016 exceeds even your best wishes. And getting right into the emails and so forth that we had, like we talked about, multiple emails. We had some text discussions at the games that you mentioned already. And we want to talk about the best of the best from the past year, which is going to be difficult because there were quite a few good things that happened in the SVC. One email stood out as a really cool idea, and we decided to kind of take the emailer up on that. And by the way, the email address for anybody that doesn't have it written down or otherwise in their brain is admin1@svcsportzone.com. The email reads, "Hey, had an idea to throw out there for discussion. With ESPN and all these other media people doing their top this and that of 2015, I'm just a little bit behind. Now, it got me thinking about maybe SportsZone could do something like that for the league. And instead of the ESPY, we could have the SportsZone-y. What do you think? Does that sound like a good idea to you, Shane?"
Hey, I'm always fair game for whatever the fans want.
Dun, 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 dun. Okay, that's good because that's what we're going to do right now. And here are some of the topics that were laid out for us. We'll start with those. First one, Team of the Year. What are your thoughts on the Team of the Year for the SVC, Shane?
You know, Bruce, when I think Team of the Year, there's so many different sports in the Side Valley Conference, and each test from start to finish is such a grind. I think more times than not, unless you've had a really, really unique postseason opportunity, you have to be looking probably at a league champion. I think that has to be one of the first requirements. So as I go all the way down through the different teams, it becomes really difficult to compare, say, a basketball team to a cross-country team or mm-hmm. to something like that. So I would probably look at something like Uniota Cross Country, they jump out with a sweep. I mean, goodness, the boys had a perfect score. You can't dominate that particular sport more than they did. The Uniota Golf Team, certainly in the mention. Nadina Volleyball Team that won a gold. Zane Trace Track had a sweep. Adina Baseball also won a gold. So I know you had some other teams there that maybe had some tournament success, but really is I would also have to go to the gold winners of Uniota Boys Basketball and Zane Trace Football. So I'd throw all those out there. I probably would be able to then narrow it down to three or four teams. I'd probably look at the Zane Trace football team. I'd probably look at the Uniota Boys Basketball, probably the Uniota Cross Country. And then I would probably, in the league that had some depth to it, put the Adina Volleyball in there as well. And I'd probably try to sort it from there.
So, Shane, sounds like a lot of good choices there. The Sport Zone-y goes to...
I'm going to go with the Uniota Boys Basketball Team. Really, really tough decision here because of what the Zane Trace football team accomplished. Hard to do much better than Zane Trace did this year. In fact, I think really in my recent memory, only one team, maybe the Westfall football team there of 7-8 years ago is about the only one that comes to my mind. But I tell you, what Uniota Boys Basketball has done – and maybe I'm being a little unfair here because I'm also including what I think they're going to go on to do. When you look at our SVC streaks page, Bruce, we've talked about it before, is they're going to now surpass the work here of the Southeastern group back here in 2001. So it's going to be a lot of fun. The next up is the girls. I know the Westfall girls back there in the early 80s won 38 straight. So what's going to basically happen with this Uniota group is you're going to see them start to knock things off. But with what they did at the end of last year, which would be the beginning of 2015, and then what they've carried over into this year. I know that might be stretching a little bit because it's two different teams with a few carryover kids that played on both. But again, what they've done has just been remarkable. And I think by the time it's said and done, we're looking at something pretty historic here right in front of us.
Okay, moving on. The next topic is the game of the year.
What's interesting about this is I kind of wondered, does it need to be an SVC game? Does it need to be two SVC teams playing each other? Can you at least stretch it to two SVC teams maybe playing in the postseason? Is it fair to take a non-league game, or is it fair to take a tournament game where an SVC team's playing somewhere? So all of those would go into my factor. For whatever reason, Bruce, I went back to last year's postseason in boys basketball when I first started down, and the two games that jump out at me was I watched a Piketon Southeastern boys basketball game in the sectional final that was as a physical basketball game as I've seen in the last 5, 6, 7 years. And Piketon wins that game by a point. Really, really tough. Tyler Carty, the great shooter from Southeastern, loses that game by a point and ends his career, I want to say, like at 990, 991, somewhere in there, just shy of 1,000. It was just a real physical. It's a shame that the SVC had to play each other in that particular tournament bracket. But also in that same sectional down there at Waverly, when you think of game of the year, a lot of times when you get a unique upset or a game like that, that can kind of get into this category. I thought of Huntington knocking off Zane Trace. Huntington had just a tough, tough year, and looked like Zane Trace was going to get control of it up. I think they were up 8 at halftime, and Huntington comes out with a great third quarter led by their great post player Elijah Shanks, who went on to have 30 points and 10 rebounds, and he was a 1,000-point scorer there. And Huntington beats him 70-62. So that's a game that jumps out at me. And then I guess that's where I kind of got in a little bit of a pickle, because I did think of some of the, obviously with a little bit of my Bearcat bias, I thought of some of the Newark Catholic games, be it the football instant classic, the baseball 9-inning affair. But if I'm going more of a Paint Valley there, I'd probably look to the Edina baseball gold ball run. Mm-hmm. I know they had a couple games there with Piketon. I also know Edina and Paint Valley played an 11-inning game where the game on the Monday night was late getting started because of some umpire issues.
Yep.
They play all the way into the 11th inning. They're sent home. Paint Valley comes back the next night to finish it, and Edina wins it. But throughout that game, see, I think, Bruce, what has to happen in a game of the year, you have to have great emotional lifts back and forth to where you feel like your team's going to win, you feel like your team's going to lose, and you have to kind of have that roller coaster effect. And you know, Paint Valley was up 4-1 in that game. Edina comes back, ties at 4-4, and then I know in extra innings, Paint Valley had bases loaded, nobody out, and they couldn't get a run in, and then Edina goes on to win it there on a ball that got away the next night there in the bottom of the 11th. But I would also throw in, while I'm giving some mentions here, I would throw in probably as a sleeper here the Westfall Huntington football game. I know those were two teams at the bottom of the standings, but if you remember, that was the game that went to triple overtime and had all sorts of crazy things. So it's interesting to see what your opinions would be on game of the year when you're giving the, what are you calling it, the sport zony?
Sport zony, yes.
Yeah.
We have the SB. It has E at the end. So we got to call this the sport zony.
Very clever.
Okay.
So, I mean, if it's going to be an SVC award here in terms of game of the year, just I kind of struggled with that in terms of if that's a deciding factor. So those are some of the ones I would throw out there for discussion.
Okay. Well, now we're down to it. The Sports Zony for the game of the year goes to...
I'm going to maybe surprise some people here. I'm going to go with the Westfall Huntington football game. Honestly, that is probably by far the best just game. Again, that's the category we're on here. Westfall 57, Huntington 54, triple overtime. Again, it's a game that just goes back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and several times getting all the way down to the last play of the game and someone would score. You know, if you look back to our football page and you go back and you find you can kind of see the red and green on the scoreboard there going back and forth, back and forth. And, you know, it gets to a point where they're tied at 37 all. And then in the first overtime there, Gavin Snyder scores on a TD run, then a PAT's blocked. Well, then Jude DePert, 12-yard TD pass play. The PAT's blocked for the tie. Yeah. Keep in mind, that would have won the game.
Yes.
Right. Second overtime, Westfall gets their two-point conversion. They're at 51-43. This time, Snyder scores again, and McCloskey hits Snyder on a two-point conversion. It's 51-all. Now you're off to a third overtime, and Huntington kicks a 21-yard field goal, and then Jude the 10-yard run for the win, 57-54. But I'm telling you, that game had everything, Bruce. It was bizarre. I mean, you had officials kind of mess up some of the overtime rules. They put the ball on the wrong yard line. I mean, there was all sorts of different things going on that just made for a crazy event. And what it shows you as a sports fan is sometimes you don't have to have the best two teams in the league, or you don't have to have everything on the line. Sometimes you just have to have a great game.
Yeah.
And that's what that was. So maybe a little bit of a sleeper, a little bit of a surprise pick there. But if I'm just picking the best sporting event or a game that I watch, that would be it.
Okay. On behalf of those of us that can't remember where we put our lunch or anything, did you just pull that out of your head, or do you have those statistics and those plays in front of you?
No. I had some of those. Okay. While I'm looking right at the website. Okay. Is where I'm getting
that's
at.
That's fine. I just wondered, because your mind is a scary place to me at times.
Now, I don't have the Paint Valley Adena baseball stuff in front of me, but you for some that. Reason that game seems to stick with me a little bit more.
Okay, moving on. The play of the year.
Well, again, the play of the year, this is so unique because you're talking about just one play.
That's going to be tough.
It is. It really is. Again, I talked a little bit about the Adena Gold Ball run when they beat Piketon in 9 innings. The Wilburn walk-off double, I believe that game was in 9 innings. That jumps out. One game that maybe I overlooked a little bit would be the Zane Trace Paint Valley football game that went into overtime. And the Austin Harris to Pierce Mowry for a touchdown. I don't remember how far that one was. I have it here on the website somewhere. I believe it was only 4 or 5 yards, Bruce, because if I'm not mistaken, there was a Paint Valley penalty that moved the ball into a goal-to-go situation. Mm-hmm. And that game was played in really bad weather, and a lot of people hated that those two teams had to play in that weather and so forth. But again, to Zane Trace's credit, the Harris to Mowry TD, yeah. that certainly is one. And then there's definitely some Bearcat bias here. You think of when you talk of incredible game, I guess I thought more of the play than I did of the game of the Coach Holland going for two.
Yeah.
When Paint Valley beats Newark Catholic, that's the Caleb Johnson run. I would also throw in there in the 9-inning baseball game, Skylar Nisley of Paint Valley, his two-out, two-strike single to left, scoring Tegan McFadden to keep that game going. So all of those things jump out at me. But goodness, I'm sure I'm missing some. That'd be great to get some follow up from fans. But those are just some of the ones that when I would see these categories, I try to just honestly write down some of the first things that would come to my mind, and I think those would probably be the ones.
Okay, so the Sports Zoney for the play of the year goes to...
With significance to the SVC, I'm going to go with the Harris to Mowry touchdown. If I were, I guess, Bruce, if I had the Bearcat bias, I will say this real quick about Skylar Nisley. Skylar Nisley on a two-out, two-strike situation where you're down to basically your last strike of the year,
yeah,
and you have Newark Catholic's crowd to their feet, and you're talking about he's facing a pitcher that went on to – he and his their other pitcher went on to win the state championship, not allowing a run in the state tournament, and he lines a single to left, scoring Tegan McFadden. That was as clutch a play as I've seen. But, again, what I said earlier, I think the fact that in SVC – that the play was the Paint Valley Zane Trace. Let's face it, that one play dictated the entire league championship. Mm-hmm. It probably dictated a lot of playoff points in terms of where Zane Trace ended up at home and going on to do what they did. So when I think of just play of the year, that Harris to Mowry touchdown probably was the most significant SVC play in any sport all year long.
Okay, this next category, I'm not sure what we're going to call it. It's been kind of thrown around as the athlete of the year, but I kind of like the performance of the year as an athlete, perhaps. It's a little bit more unwieldy, but we're talking about maybe one particular performance by an athlete.
Yeah, I agree with you, Bruce. You know, with Athlete of the Year, with our Herbie Strange State Farm Insurance sponsorship, we kind of do Athlete of the Week, and then throughout later in the year, we do that. So, yeah, I don't want to influence that too much, but I think what you're saying is kind of intriguing. When I look at Performance of the Year, what's so neat about that is it doesn't always have to come from maybe the person you think it would. Now, it might, but what I mean by that is, you know, it may not be from the elite player. It may just be a special performance that someone had in a particular game. But when I think of some performances of the year, obviously you can look at the different names that what a Pierce Mowry would do in multiple sports, the McFaddens, Jonathan Thomas, Michaela Newland on the girls' side comes to my mind. She throws a perfect game there in the circle in softball. Ella Skeens, you could look at some of the numbers on her individual games. I don't have that in front of me, Bruce. I want to say last year as a freshman, she once scored 37 in an SVC game. I believe that was either Piketon or Westfall. I'd have to look that up. Then in the track, she put on a complete show in the SVC meet. Goodness, talking about performance of the year, how about Trevor Detillion, Walt Petzl, some of those kids and what they're throwing. Caleb Johnson, Hannah Phillips, I know some of the performances she had. Delana Gregg in the Uniota volleyball game, that was as good a performance as I've seen all year. Hannah Phillips, like I said, she was the SVC Player of the Year. Her performance in the Alexander match in the regional, that was really special as well. So, I would say that all of those are worthy of mention in this particular category.
Okay, so we're going to go with the Performance of the Year. The Sport Zone Performance of the Year is...
With all due respect to some of the incredible track performances, I'm going to go Hannah Phillips here, Bruce. And I'm going to go to the Westfall over Alexander. That particular night over at Logan... That was a match that most of us here locally, and I think most people around the Southeast thought that Alexander would win, and Westfall ended up winning that in straight sets. I don't have those scores in front of me, but I know it was in straight sets. And on that night, Hannah Phillips hit the career kill mark, 1,000. She had 20-plus kills, I think, at night. But the number that sticks out in my mind is she had 14 aces. Now, we're not talking about some non-league match on a Saturday morning where two or three kids can't play. You know what I mean? We're talking about Alexander, who can really, really play. And Alexander's no stranger to the regional stage. And Phillips just was so, so special in that performance. Again, 14 aces. Her serve just, you know, we always talk about in these preview articles that we'll put out at the beginning of the year throughout, or if I'm naming an all-league kid, I'll say has a match-changing serve. And sometimes people just think that's a catchphrase. Well, that's an example of what we're talking about there. She has a serve that can completely take over a match. 14 aces on a stage like that. So in conclusion, Bruce, just to make sure I clarify here, because again, I don't want any disrespect to what some of those track kids did with Detillion and Petzl and even a wrestler like a Caleb Johnson. I just the performance of Hannah Phillips there with the 14 aces, same night recording the 1,000 kill and on that type of stage against a program like Alexander, I would definitely go that way with that award.
Okay. And now we move into something that's a little bittersweet here. It is called our Heartbreak of the Year. Maybe a little appealing. This is something that we could really research for a while, couldn't we?
Well, you really could. You know, what's crazy about this, Bruce, is I was just saying earlier that with Game of the Year and different things, does it have to be SVC or whatever? For me, this award almost has to be postseason because I feel like postseason is so final. It's not to say you couldn't lose a game. In the regular season that cost you a league title or something like that. But I think just losing in the tournament a lot of times, especially when it's in that heartbreaking way, can be so final. You know, I know in volleyball with Alexander over Huntington. Huntington had a chance to put them away early, had a chance in that fifth set. They were up 12-10, ended up losing 15-13. I know Dean in volleyball jumped out on Tuskegee Valley 2-0 and had Tuskegee come all the way back and still had a chance to win it in the fifth set, and they didn't. One of the first ones I thought of, Bruce, was baseball. Southeastern, really, really good baseball team. They're up after they kind of had an incredible comeback themselves in the district semi. That would have been another game of the year that I maybe didn't think about. In the River Valley game, they come in a situation where Justin Dye runs out of innings, still has they have great pitcher on the mound. They're up 3-0 with one out in the seventh inning, and Alexander scores five times. Phenomenal. I think another one that jumps out at me that's kind of related to that Southeastern is the Edina lost to Southeastern in the sectional. And here's why I say that. I say that in total respect to what Edina did in the 14-game grind. I think sometimes the tournament, again, the heartbreak is so final that people see this sectional loss and they totally forget how hard it is in SVC baseball to win every single game. I don't want to call it a fluke, because that'd be totally disrespectful to the incredible program that Coach Grigsby has there at Alexander. But it's one of those things that not often do you have one out in the seventh inning with no one on and give up five runs, especially at that level. So that's how close this Southeastern team was to the regional. So that tells you a little bit of the heartache of Edina. I would even have to throw in the Paint Valley football. When you look at Zane Trace football, they kind of simply went as far as they were going to go and probably just simply ended up running into a really good Wheelersburg team, Bruce, where Paint Valley, the difference in their ending, they're up 28-13 late in that game to Fredericktown and the Freddies, I think they're called.
Yes.
The Freddies kind of charged late there and went at 29-28. So that's certainly some heartbreak. So, in this category, I certainly see where some of the regular season could play a role, but I think it almost has to go in the high school setting to the postseason.
Okay, so the Sport Zone E for the heartbreak of the year goes to...
I'm going to go with the Edina volleyball team. This is a situation where, on paper going into the match, Tuskegee was probably a little bit of a favorite, but when Edina comes out, wins the first set, running away. Then the second set, they kind of steal. I want to say it was 29-27. And then Tuskegee kind of takes over and dominates for a while. And then as we go into the fifth set, I know back on the volleyball page, I had taken the fans down every point-by-point scoring in that fifth set. And when I was looking back at that here, let me find it. When I look back at that, Edina led 10-9, and then it was 10-10, and they ended up losing 15-13. But, when you look at Westfall knocking off Alexander in the other bracket, and you look at the Edina-Westfall head-to-head matchups, it's just one of those things where – Adina is going to step away and still be real, real proud of the incredible season they had. But to basically be knocking on the door of the state tournament there and then kind of just have it happen that way, to me, just has to leave you with kind of an empty feeling there in your gut. But obviously, every single one of those teams, when they're done, they step back. I know we went through that in Paint Valley baseball. We lost a 9-inning game to the eventual state champion in the regional. It hurts. It's one of those things you kind of just remember and remember and remember. But, you're always going to step back and look at a great year. And I'm sure Edina volleyball is no different.
Well, that was kind of fun. We're going to have to keep the research department engaged throughout the year. The people behind the scenes, Shane, are going to.
No, honestly, Bruce, it does make you want to take some better notes throughout the years on some of those categories, because, man, I'm sure, even as much as I just rambled on for who knows how long, I'm sure that I missed several. And that would be fun to kind of get a lot of feedback on.
Well, that's exactly where I was headed to, was all of you that are listening out there. I'm sure that you have differing opinions from Shane. And so we would appreciate your team of the year, your game of the year, your play of the year, your performance of the year, and of course your heartbreak of the year. And we'll talk a little bit later on about how you can communicate those to us in various different ways through email and so forth. So we'll have to do that again next year, maybe.
Absolutely.
Remember that for the first one.
Well, I tell you what, Bruce, if you're okay with it, let's jump into our fast break segment here. Sure. Had some good questions. As always, let's go ahead and have the fans know that this is brought to them by the Crown Hill Golf Club. That's located up U.S. Route 22 west in Williamsport, just minutes from Route 104. What you need to do for more details is call the course, 740-986-GOLF. That's 740-986-4653. Ask for Dave or Kevin. Tell them SVCSportsZone.com sent you. In fact, I that's one of the things I was able to do over the holiday break here, Bruce. I was able to go up and visit with those guys. Okay. and wanted to kind of take care of a little Christmas package with one of my buddies that I was introducing them to the golf course up there, and those guys are super. So I'd really encourage people to understand that they have an amazing 5-round membership. It usually goes for $100 right now in January. They're even running, I believe it's through January, into January, they're 10% off, so right around $90 getting that 5-round membership. So if you're not from that area, what a great way to go ahead and lock into that great price. And then you can just kind of go up there throughout the year and get some rounds in. So something to definitely take advantage of. I know I did over the holiday break here. So this particular fast break, as always, has a lot of stuff from the fans and some things from games and so forth, Bruce. So if you're okay with that, let's go ahead with this week's version of Fast Break.
As basketball reaches the halfway point, what do you see as a major improvement in recent games compared to games you watched earlier in the season?
I don't think there's any question, Bruce. It's the comfort and the overall talent of the role players. A lot of new roles in the league. You heard me talk early in the year about this, and as I see kids play now with 8, 9, 10, 11 games under the belt, the kids are starting to be a lot more comfortable. Teams are starting to play with better identity. More kids handling the ball, more kids scoring, more kids getting involved. And what that's going to do for an already really competitive league in boys and girls is just going to make for some great, great games. Because when you look really throughout the entire girls league, and then you look pretty much in from two down in the boys side, you're in for some really, really good basketball games.
In recent discussion about the climate of programs, one fan wants to know, other than Unioto boys and girls, what program do you view as the hottest job right now?
Well, kind of intriguing that they worded it that way with Unioto boys and girls. I certainly get it with the particular enrollment situation and just the way they're going in the last 2, 3, 4 years and where they appear to be going in the future. I would have to say that the Southeastern girls is probably the most intriguing job. I mean, let's face it here. They've been really young the last 2 years. And gosh, I don't have those in front of me. What were they, 17 and 5 or 6, something like that last year? And they're off to an incredible start this year. So, I mean, you're talking about a team already doing a lot of winning. When you look at a talent like Ella Skeens, Audrey Wheeler, the Mittens, a pretty young basketball team. And They just seems to be Southeastern in general just seems to be a pretty cool place in terms of expectations. Yeah, is there some pressure there with those expectations? Yeah, but they love their basketball. Their facilities are unmatched. You know, when I look at Huntington, Adena, Paint Valley, places like that, it's been nearly a decade since they've won league in girls or in boys and so forth in terms of or in boys basketball. Adena had a nice run there a couple years ago with Grigsby and them, but. Yeah, I don't know. It's the girls there at Southeastern has a chance to do something they haven't done in a long time. I think it's been 25 years or so since Southeastern's won a girls' title. That's probably the most intriguing one.
One fan said he finally got out over break to watch a few more teams play and has now seen all 8 boys and girls teams play. Based on what he watched, he's asking Shane, fair or unfair, when he says the SVC will struggle to get more than 25% of the league to district play come postseason.
Well, my first reaction to this one, that has to be unfair. And then I guess I started doing some of the math and doing some of the breakdown. And I guess I see where more than 25% comes into play. I'll still say unfair, though, just because on the girls' side, I think Westfall, Southeastern are going to be really tough. I think Huntington, Pike, and Zane Trace, some of those teams are going to be really tough outs. You have Paint Valley, Unioto breaking off on the girls' side into their own divisions. That's always interesting. But again, on the boys' side, You know, you assume Uniota is going to take care of business in theirs. There's not a boys team that couldn't get hot and win a couple games. I mean, all of these boys teams are getting better and better and better, and in each of them just present a challenge. And what's going to happen, too, I've mentioned it several times, with Mowry back, with McFadden back, with some of these particular things, you're going to get a couple SVC teams in some brackets where teams aren't going to be very happy to see them.
Okay. An email talked about how interesting the discussion was on a recent show about the best way to handle the long holiday break. What is your opinion on how long you should practice during the second half of the year?
Always an interesting discussion, really, amongst coaches. It's one of those things. For the longest time, it seems like a basketball practice, all about 2 hours. I don't know that that's totally necessary. You'll see a lot of coaches dial back 90 minutes, maybe even 75, 80 minutes. I think what happens here, Bruce, throughout the entire year, and maybe especially late in the year, it's not necessarily how long you go sometimes. It's maybe scaling back in terms of saving the legs and doing different things, but I think with today's technology, we really underuse the film room. Mm-hmm. We really underuse the classroom. I think there's a lot of use there. I think also this is a time of year where if you have some freshmen, some sophomores playing varsity, you know, they're used to that junior high season. I don't think the average fan understands the difference in the wear and tear on your mind and your body, the varsity season compared to the junior high season, even the JV season for that matter. So I think all of those things come into play, but I think you can scale the conditioning and things like that back for sure as you get into the second half of the season.
Okay, thank you, Shane. That's our fast break. And we want to remind everybody that, of course, you can contact us, and we hope that you do. You can do so through Facebook. Shane maintains two different profiles there. On Twitter, our handle is at svcsportzone.com. And email, of course, we mentioned that earlier, admin1@svcsportzone.com. And our phone number, you can leave us a message there, 740-569-3254. And we will, depending on what you say, we will either use your voice or we'll just use your message that you leave for us there. So please contact us. And, of course, like we said earlier when we were talking about the Sport Zone-y, if you have a better name for it, we're open to that. Open to that, because
it's growing on me.
Okay, well, I don't know that it's growing on me entirely, and maybe about 3 minutes went into thinking about that. But we need a name, but we'd also like to hear your opinions on the team of the year, the game of the year, the play of the year, the performance of the year, and the heartbreak of the year. So we'd like to hear from you. Please let us know that you're listening and consuming the podcast and so forth, and give us your thoughts on that. Well, we have sort of a follow-up to the final fast break question here that I want to talk about. And we hear people talking about working on certain things, and they will say, I'm going to wait until the off season. So how do you determine when and how to work on certain aspects of your game?
This is a great question that I was actually just having this conversation with my brother Matt Bruce over the holiday break, and I was having it with an old friend of the show there with Eric Snyder. And it's a basketball question I've been getting into with a lot of different people.
Was there food involved with Eric?
No, not at that particular time. Now, I think there was food nearby maybe when Matt and I were talking over the holiday season.
I digress. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
But I think with this, and there may be people out there that disagree with this, but I would strongly encourage parents and coaches to at least stop and think about this. And really, as players get older, they can make these own choices for themselves. I think a lot of people fall into the trap, Bruce, where they say, I really want to work on that in the off season. This off season, I really want to do this. I really want to me, you start working on it now. You know, by the time you get into junior high school, there's only 4, 5, 6 off seasons to start doing these things. Where to me, if you are a kid that can't dribble with your left hand, you need to be starting to work on that right now, every day.
Yeah.
If you can't shoot, you need to get it fixed now. And it's one of those things where I hate to change my shot in the middle of the season.
Yeah.
Look, if you're shooting 25% from the floor or 50% from the free throw line,
it's time.
It can't get much worse. You know what I'm saying? It's one of those things where why wait to the off season? Why not get in and get some things corrected? Get with someone you trust that's going to give some good feedback. Obviously, if you're with your coach, he or she can do that. Parents that know your shot really well can certainly help you get squared up, can get it lifted a little bit more. But again, those things have to happen now. And a lot of times it's just putting extra time in. You know, kids become great shooters because they get out and shoot the ball a lot. They become great ball handlers because they get out and they handle the ball a lot. So, again, it's that extra time. If you're someone that is telling me that you don't have time to go get 25 extra free throws up or 25 extra threes up before or after practice or whatever, you're just basically lying.
You're hard-nosed, no, Shane. You're hard.
Well, you're just lying, because what happens is you can kind of sell that to mom and dad or to grandma, grandpa, aunt, uncle, or whatever, but it's just not that hard to do. It's not that hard to do to just try to different times throughout the gym to get someone there rebound with you, to get, you know, 20, 25 extra free throws up. You do that over the course 3-4 days a week, you're just going to see the confidence go up. You're going to start to see the feel and the different comfort level go up. I strongly encourage people, don't fall into the trap of, hey, I want to do this in the off season, or I want to do this in the off season. You should be working on your game all the time. I think so. If you're asking me, you know, when should you start working on your shot? If mm-hmm. you're not a very good shooter, I would say tonight.
Is there any chance that you're going to pull a Tiger Woods and screw things up beyond recognition?
No, because again, there's two things that happen here, Bruce. One, again, if you are a terrible shooter, mm-hmm. there's probably mechanics that need fixed. Okay. But let's say that you're a pretty good shooter and you're just struggling, or you have a pretty good form. A lot of times it's just like anything else. You just need a little extra work. You know, if you're a pretty good shooter, a lot of times just you going into the gym and getting up those extra shots, it's a confidence thing, to where when you go to the free throw line in that next game, you're going to see your confidence level go up. You're going to feel more prepared. You're going to feel more comfortable that you've put the time in and that you've worked on this. So, you know, I don't feel like you can, because a lot of times it's just something as simple. I see it a lot with kids right around the 8th, 9th, 10th grade level, as they start to physically change and you're trying to get that shot to lift a little bit. Mm-hmm. And you wonder a little bit if some of this comes from, you know, when they started playing when they're younger and they couldn't get the ball up to the rim and maybe the shot was too low or whatnot. But I see a lot of the mechanics of the ball coming from the waist, and the motion gets really, really long. So what happens is they get a little older, you'd like to get that ball lifted a little bit. And we always say the shorter the motion, or the shorter the stroke, the less that can go wrong with it. So that's an example of a shooter. But even as simple as ball handling, you know, a lot of times in a game situation, kids aren't confident enough to work on their left hand. That's why sometimes if all you do is play in your travel team or your AAU in the off season, you may not be working on that particular skill, because when you're playing, your instinct is to put that ball back in the right hand or into your comfort level or whatever, where you still have to have that workout time where you're putting that ball into your left hand. Or if your role's not to shoot the three-pointer, but you're trying to develop it, well, the only time you're going to develop that is away from the game setting to get some of that practice time in.
All right. We'll wait for some feedback on that. I'm sure there are others out there that have some
thoughts. That'd be
great.
Honestly, those are probably my favorite questions on the show this season, are some of these basketball-related questions.
Okay. Here's another one that came through us from a fan at a game last week, and it has to do with a follow-up to our discussions on atmospheres that we see at different facilities and so forth. And it talks about facilities for the game, facilities for practices, games at lower levels, that is junior high and little leagues. And it's a two-part comment. First, it says, do the extra things in the facility, and it goes on to describe that as like fancy scorers tables and scoreboards, etc., add to the environment. And that's the first point. And then the second point is, how can these extra things be used to increase Little League participation?
Well, to be honest, I'd forgotten that this was on this week's agenda. I really enjoyed the conversation that this particular question had come from. This is a person that has some kids involved in some of the younger levels, super family that I know will listen to the show for many years to come. So those types of comments are really exciting. I guess that I would say they certainly don't hurt. I mean, anytime again, you can make basketball, you can make atmosphere, you can make things important. Make things look nice. I certainly don't think there's anything wrong with that. As you get to some of the older levels with junior high and so forth, sure, some of the scores tables, some of the PA announcing some of those different things are all important. Some of the decoration throughout the gym. I think all of those things are important. I would even throw this out there, since they talked about the extra things increasing in Little League. I would love to see, with more and more of the third and fourth grade playing the games, Bruce, I would love to see if we could somehow in some of our gyms get some lower rims. Mm-hmm. I think that would help a lot of the shooting. I think that would help extend a little bit the game out to the perimeter a little bit, because let's face it, not very many third and fourth graders are able to fire away from 15, 20 feet. And I think some of the smaller basket would help there, and just in terms of some form and so forth. So, we got talking about how we used to do some different things. We talked about free throw shooting on the show here about 3-4 weeks ago, and I got to thinking one of the greatest things I'd seen in Little League is where they use the free throw shooting at halftime. Each person, let's say there's eight on each team, they would take two free throws that count on the score. That was a neat way to make sure every kid was getting involved with a chance to shoot, a chance to score, a chance to shoot some pressurized free throws, and so that was kind of a neat thing. I think all of those different things are important. And then as you get higher, I was out at Uniota the other night. They're now showing off of their new at the buzzer, the light around the backboard.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And it is really nice. But it got me thinking a little bit. If we're going to start putting those up, and we're going to start putting these play clocks out on high school football fields and stuff, so people are going to start coming up with different excuses on why we can't have the shot clock in high school.
Right,
because,
right.
You know, forever it was a money issue and different things. So those are all things that kind of open up maybe new discussions and certain things. But those extra things in the facility that they talked about, sure, they don't hurt. I think that you just anytime you can add things to your facility to make the facility a little nicer, to make things a little bit more important, kids respond to that. I think that's important.
All right. Good stuff. And again, we're look forward to hearing from you folks out there in the listenership as to what you think about that. Well, our final segment throughout the basketball season's called our post-game comments, and it's brought to you by Crown Hill Golf Club. And of course, we encourage you to check out their website at crownhillgolfclub.com. And anytime you go up there at a golf course, tell Kevin or Dave that svcsportszone.com sent you. So here we go in this week's post-game segment, and it concludes with an email. It says, I know you have mentioned wrestling a few times on the show, and I would love for wrestling to be covered even more, and all the local media for that matter. What do you think are the keys to making this happen? Thanks. Love the basketball coverage, but with some family members going the wrestling route, I thought I would ask. And that's a good question. How can we get wrestling to be covered a little bit better?
Well, it is a great question, and we've had it before on the show here, and I guess I'll continue to stay consistent. You know, it's hard. I'm just going to speak for SVCSportsZone.com. I can't speak for all the media outlets. It's hard for me to justify talking too much about it when 99% of the stuff we get in is about basketball and about different things. I think basically what wrestling, it kind of goes with track and cross country and some of those others. They need within their sport to reach out and help some of the media promote them better, be it helping spread names, spread rules, spread milestone wins, spread pictures and different things to where people, you know, get comfortable. Me as someone in media, you know, I love sports. I can sit here and name golf rosters for you, or I can name golf starting lineups or football starting lineups or basketball starting lineups or whatever. I don't know if I can name 7 or 8 kids that wrestle in the SVC, and that's a shame. It's one of those things where I would like to see it just start to get promoted. And anytime that stuff happens, it is a little bit of the media needing to go out and get involved, but it's also more from within at the high school level of the coaches and the families and the different things, getting information out to the media. So that's what I would probably say there, because again, I think it's a new thing and it's going to grow, and it's certainly going to be a part of our league for a while, I believe.
All right. Well, we'd like to, again, you know, solicit any feedback from the listenership on that as well. And we'd take the input from those people that are involved in the wrestling programs, and that would help us cover that a lot better. So looking back here, show 145, what's been your favorite part of the show this week? And what are you looking forward to in 2016, Shane?
Well, in 2016, I guess early on here, I guess I'm looking at a lot of these different basketball questions that continue to grow, a lot of where we're going. Obviously, on this particular show, it's the sport zonies were fun to do, and some of the different things we're looking back. I'm sure I have a Bearcat bias. I'm sure I have a little bit of a bias of a game I was at compared to a game I wasn't.
Yeah.
You know, so even if it wasn't a Paint Valley or something like that, just sometimes when you're at a game compared to when you just hear about a game, that's a completely different thing. So feedback on those things would be great. I think sometimes when you spend some time looking at those categories, it certainly makes you think as you're watching a little bit closer, maybe taking a little bit better notes and so forth as the year goes on. But I love where the basketball discussion's going. The feedback I'm getting is the show is something that you enjoy if you're a varsity fan, a JV fan, a little league fan, a junior high fan, you know, a lot of different levels of basketball getting covered. And I think that's exciting as we move through probably another, you know, 4 or 5 basketball shows here this winter.
All right, Shane, thanks for taking the time to talk with us on SBC Sports Zone. And
thank you.
We'd love to, again, hear from any of you out there, as that's kind of what makes us roll here. So until next time, for Triple Crown Family Fun Center in Chillicothe, as well as all the other sponsors on the website, for everyone here at DBK Media Services, and for Shane Combs, this is Bruce Knox reminding you to keep visiting svcsportszone.com, where we are 100% SVC, 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. And visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC, 100% of the time.